4, that's after Daniel. Verse 1, hear the word of the Lord, ye children of Israel, for the Lord hath a controversy with the inhabitants of the land, because there is no truth, nor mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land. Notice he has a controversy because there is no knowledge of God in the land. And we'll see a little later in the chapter what happens when there's no knowledge of God. By swearing and lying and killing and stealing and committing adultery, they break out and blood toucheth blood. Therefore shall the land mourn, and everyone that dwelleth therein shall languish with the beasts of the field and with the fowls of heaven, yea, the fishes of the sea also shall be taken away. Yet let no man strive nor reprove another, for thy people are they that strive with the priests. In other words, nobody was correcting anybody. They didn't want to hurt anybody's feelings. Therefore shalt thou fall in the day, and the prophet also shall fall with thee in the night, and I will destroy thy mother. My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. This is my text, verse 6 today. And we see in verse 1 there was no knowledge of God in the land. And what was the product in verse 6? My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee. That thou shalt be no priest to me, seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children. As they were increased, so they sinned against me. Therefore will I change their glory into shame. They eat up the sin of my people, and they set their heart on their iniquity. And there shall be like people, like priests, and I will punish them for their ways and reward them for their doings. For they shall eat and not have enough. They shall commit whoredom and shall not increase, because they have left off to take heed to the Lord. Whoredom and wine and new wine take away the heart. As with almost all of the Old Testament prophets, they're very negative. These were men trying to save Israel from being destroyed, trying to save Judah from being destroyed, trying to save them from going into captivity. And so they preached very, very negative messages about the condition. They were just being very, very honest about the condition of the people. I think maybe as you were reading, as I was reading through this and you were following along today, you perhaps thought about our own country and how it seems to parallel what we just read in verses 1 through 11. And this is not the first time society has been like it is today, where there doesn't seem to be much knowledge of God anymore in our land. And it's a heartless time. In verse 11 it says, whoredom and wine and new wine take away the heart. And this talks about all the promiscuity in society, the immorality in society, and the alcohol abuse in society. And it just makes for heartless people. It really does. That's about all alcohol does for people. It makes them heartless. And that's all promiscuity, unfaithfulness does. It's makes for heartless people. But my text is verse number 6, and I want to speak this morning on the subject of the sad world some children live in. The sad world some children live in. Verse 6 says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me. Seeing thou hast forgotten the law of God, I will also forget thy children. I will also forget thy children. I want to speak about the sad world some children live in. We have just before us here over the next couple of weeks a profound opportunity to influence children for Jesus Christ and to give them the knowledge of God. I'm glad that is our business. And I'm glad that we are not keeping our children in ignorance, but that we are trying to bring them into the presence of the Lord and the presence of His Word as often as we can. That is a very, very good thing to do. We often think of the potential of each child who has been loved properly and reared properly and instructed properly and disciplined properly and has had good examples to follow in the home and has not had to live among hypocrisy and has had good examples to follow in the church and good influences. But what if they had none of that? How would your children be? What would your children be like? And I hope that perhaps today the message will give you a burden for the children of our day and age, the children of the world. And I want to show you five possibilities of children in the world today that are very, very sad. And my message thus is the sad world that some children live in. I want to make five statements. Each one is preceded by this statement. It is possible for children to be. If you want to write that down five times, you can, or just write it as you're heading. But I want to show you some things that the Bible says about the children of the world. It is possible for children to be, number one, forgotten by God. Forgotten by God. He says here, because seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children. Now, some people will immediately think that that's something that God is doing wrong. And I hope you don't think that way. I hope I can explain. But you see, God has never moved. God's never moved. It is we who move as a society. It's we who move as parents. It's we who move as schools. There was a time up till 1962, for instance, when the Bible was used as a book of instructions public education system, and they decided in that year that the Bible would not be allowed anymore to be read to children. Well, that was a long time ago. The next year, 1963, they then made another decision that children would not be allowed to pray in public schools. They could not be led by their teachers in prayer. They could pray themselves silently, but there would be no more public prayers. And, you know, I don't know if you've ever noticed the history of America and what happened. Later that year, our president was shot and killed. And it just seems like our country's went off into chaos since that time, and tremendous, tremendous cultural struggles and societal struggles and immorality, and we were steamrolled by a powerful, powerful influence that no one was really ready for. We call it rock and roll music today, and it steamrolled our society back in the 60s and in the 70s, and parents didn't know what to do because of the power of that medium and the effect it had on their children, giving them a very rebellious, very proud, very stubborn spirit. And now the steamroller turned around, and now it's steamrolling the churches, and it's leveling the churches of America, as so many churches have allowed this music into their assemblies and into their meetings and so on and so forth. And we just see churches everywhere of every denomination closing up, 800 Baptist churches a year closing up in America because of this. And a lot of it goes back to the fact that way back in the early 60s, somebody, and I was just a little kid at the time, but somebody said, you know, we don't need the knowledge of God anymore. In verse 1. It says, the Lord hath a controversy with the inhabitants of the land because there is no truth, nor mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land. How bad has it gotten? Today in our country, 60% of all children at the age of 12 have never been inside of any type of a church once in their life. Let me say that again, 60% of all children in America, 12 years of age or under, have never been inside of any type of a church once in their life. Now what that means is this, if you go to a public school, for instance, on your average school day, and go into any sixth grade class that you want to and look at those children. Six out of those 10 sixth graders have never been inside of any type of a church whatsoever in our country. I knew a man who was the chaplain down at the Erie County Holding Center for 25 years. In his 25 years of talking, he was available when people were first arrested and they were put in there. That can be a very traumatic moment, a very emotional moment. Some attempt suicide, and some become very, very ripe at that moment and humbled and open to the gospel, and the chaplain was there to help them. He kept track of the inmates that came through the Erie County Holding Center in the 25 years that he was the chaplain, and he came to this conclusion. He said 97% of those that were arrested and brought to the Erie County Holding Center never had any regular religious training. 97% never had any regular. Now, they may have gone to church, hit and miss, Christmas, Easter, something like that. But they never had any regular religious training. 97%. As a pastor, there's times where I meet people who will say to me as I cross paths, "Pastor Cole, how you doing? You remember me?" And I that's just one of the questions I hate. I get it all the time. "You remember me, Pastor Cole?" And then they just stare at you. And you have to just say something dumb or pretend you're intelligent or something. Say, "Boy, you sure look familiar, but I'm kind of losing it here. Could you help me out a little?" "Oh, I'm so-and-so." "Oh, yeah." And then you remember. "Yeah, you used to attend church 15 years ago. You used to attend church 10 years ago. You used to bring your kids." "Yeah. How's things going?" "Well, not very good." "What are your kids doing?" And then they give the sad history of what's happened to their children. And boy, I tell you, I wish I had a $10 bill for all the parents who have said to me over these years, "I wish I'd have stayed in church." I'd be a rich man. "I wish I'd have stayed in church." You see, I never moved. I've been here. They moved. And the reason I forgot them and forgot their children is because years and years ago they used to attend, and then they started missing, and we followed up on them. We sent them notes in the mail and cards and letters and made phone calls and tried to get them back and tried to get them back and tried to get them back, and finally came to the conclusion, let us take our efforts and use them towards somebody who wants to be here, somebody who wants to be ministered unto. And we had to just leave them be, whatever path they chose is, and we had to turn our attention and our energies and our efforts to maybe some new people that were coming to help them try to reach their potential. And then they come up and say, "Remember me, Pastor Cole?" And I'd look at them and I'd, things would start coming back. See, I forgot them, but I never moved. I never moved. See, God has said in His Word about His nature, He said, "My spirit shall not always strive with man." He said, "I am not always going to fight with you. If you don't want to talk to me, I'll go talk to somebody else. If you don't want to read my Word and have me show you things out of the Bible, I'll go show someone else what I meant in my Bible. If you don't want me to help you raise your children, I'll go help someone else raise their children. If your city doesn't want me, I'll go to another city. If your country doesn't want me, I'll go visit another country." That's how the Lord is. It's not the Lord's fault that the children are forgotten. It is often the parents' fault that they have not brought their children as Jesus commanded. He said, "Suffer little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of heaven." It is possible for children, number one, to be forgotten by God. Boy, that's a sad thing to see. Such a sad thing when God can do so much for children. Listen, if you have little children, if you have little grandchildren, don't wait till they're teenagers and then try to bring them into God's presence for some remedial miracle. Bring them up when they're little children, under the sound of God. Have devotions in your house. Grandma, grandpa, when those kids come over, you get your Bible out and you read them an action story out of the Bible for a few minutes, and then you just explain that story to them. You make it alive. You pray with them. You moms and dads and man dads, I know what it's like to get home from work and you're tired and you're exhausted. All you want to do is take a nap and the kids are climbing all over you and so on and so forth. And then you get done eating and then you just got to get your Bible out. And don't bore them to death, but if you spend 5 minutes, it's not so much what you're saying, it's what they're going to remember. Dad read the Bible to us. Mom read the Bible to us. Dad and Mom prayed with us before we went to bed. And I promise you, God will remember your children. God will remember your children. It is possible for children to be forgotten by God. I will forget your children. If you don't want me, you don't want my knowledge. He uses the word here, rejected. You've rejected my knowledge. If you want to raise your kids without me, without God, without the Bible, go ahead, see how you do. See how you do. It is possible for children to be turned away by their fathers. Number two, it is possible for children to be turned away by their fathers. Look at the book of Malachi, another one of the little Old Testament prophets, the last one, right before the New Testament begins in the book of Matthew, is the book of Malachi. And I'd like you to notice in chapter 4 and verse 6, the very last verse of the entire Old Testament. Boy, what a blow to the solar plexus. This one will knock the wind out of you. And this is how the Lord ends the Old Testament. It says about John the Baptist, and by way of prophecy, it says, "And he shall turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse." The Lord said that this thing about fatherhood is so important that it can prevent a curse from coming to the earth. But a lack of biblical fatherhood will curse the earth. And notice the heart of the matter is the matter of the heart. The preacher, Elijah, verse 5, who is an Old Testament type of the New Testament, John the Baptist, one of the things that he would do in his ministry is he would try to turn the heart of the fathers to the children. Now that should never have to be done. No father should ever turn his heart away from his children. But sometimes it happens. Fathers have many responsibilities, many cares. Maybe sometimes, if they're not careful, not men of prayer, many worries. They also have many interests. And society today is just bombarding men with distractions. You've got sports any season you want to. You've got sports on television. Football and hockey and NASCAR And they just put millions and millions and millions of dollars into this, convincing you how important it is that you be a NASCAR fan or a football fan or a basketball fan or a hockey fan. They've got cable television programs now where you can watch sports all day long, all night long. And besides all that, you got to maintain the house, and you got to maintain the yard, and the property, and the cars, and the tractors, and pay the bills, and pay the insurances, and pay the utilities, and all these things can be on a dad. and all kinds of distractions, other entertainment, the internet, and just television in general, and movies, and so on and so forth. And if you're not careful, you can become heartless. It's possible for sin, according to Hebrews 3 and verse 13, to harden a person's heart. Just like we see in verse 11, whoredom and wine and new wine take away the heart. That's why I warn against alcohol and warn against promiscuity of our day and age, the fornication and the cohabitation and all these things, why it makes people heartless. Those who cohabitate end up having an even higher divorce rate than those who don't. But their logic is, well, we got to live together to see if we're compatible. It makes them heartless. And so the preacher has to come along, and one of his jobs, he needs to turn the heart of the fathers back to the children. But there are many children in this sad world who have to live with fathers who have turned their hearts away from them. And that's one of the biggest griefs that a child... I am convinced that most psychological problems, that people have emotional problems, mental problems, are often tied back to the fact that their father, not in every case, but their father didn't either care for them or pray for them or didn't have a heart for them. And they had these inner conflicts and issues because the father has a unique position in the eyes of his children that no one else owns. A pastor doesn't own it. Their mother doesn't own it. The principal at school doesn't own it. The coach of the football team doesn't own it. It says in Proverbs 17 and verse 6, the glory of children are their fathers. It is innate. It is instinctive. A boy, a girl comes out of the womb and thinks dad is his hero. Dad is her hero. That's how God wired us. And then dad lets him down. And dad doesn't have a heart for him. Dad leaves him. Dad deserts the kid. Divorces the mom. And that kid grows up with issues. Sometimes, praise God, the Lord saves that child and becomes a father to that fatherless. He said, the God of heaven said, I will be a father to the fatherless. And I'll give that child the blessing, and I'll receive him. You are accepted in the beloved. And all that can be healed. But what about the kids that don't come to Christ? You know what they do? They join gangs just to be accepted. They plaster their bodies with tattoos just to be accepted. They get their noses pierced and their ears pierced and just to get accepted by society. And girls give up their virginity just like that, just for a few moments. If somebody accept me, just please, just for a few moments, give me some love. I'll smite the earth with a curse. Cursed children whose fathers turn their hearts away from their kids. If that's your situation, I got good news for you today. There is a God in heaven that loves you. He cares about you. And he'll be a father to you. And he's a wonderful father. Get to know him. Read the Word. Sad world some children live in. Forgotten by God. Turned away from by their fathers. Number three, possessed by devils. Possessed by devils. In Matthew 15, verses 22 through 28, read it at home. The story of a little girl possessed with the devil. In Mark 9, 17 through 29, the story of a little boy possessed with the devil. The devil's heartless. He don't care if you're a girl or a boy. And fathers and mothers and grandmas and grandpas, we need to keep our children away from the doors that open them up to demon possession. Doors like pornography. Doors like alcohol. Doors like drugs. Doors like rock music. Doors like witchcraft. and the occult. We need to keep our children away from much of the shows on TV and movies and so on and so forth. These are doors to demonism. If you don't believe in demon-possessed boys and girls, you don't believe in the Bible. God was very careful to tell us stories about these. But he was also very powerful to show us he can deliver them from them all. This kind goeth not forth but by prayer and fasting, but that is the sad world some children live in, no fault of their own. No fault of their own. The one father there in Mark came to the Lord and said, "Lord, I don't know what to do with my boy. Sometimes this devil takes him and oftentimes throws him in the fire." Can you imagine what that boy looked like? "And I have to go and rescue my boy. You probably have to spread lotion or aloe or something all over him, and the boy's just scarred. And oftentimes he takes him and throws him in the water. I have to go in and save my boy from drowning. I brought him to your disciples. I couldn't do anything for him." And the Lord said, "If you have faith, I'll help you." He says, "But I have faith, but help my unbelief." And the Lord said, "That's good enough." And the Lord delivered that boy. We need to get children to Jesus. Jesus can help children. It's the sad world. Do you sometimes, some of us who are older, we're always saying, "What's wrong with these kids today?" Well, let me tell you something. We got a lot of good kids. We got a lot of good ones in this church. We got some kids and we got some teens and young men in their 20s in this church that put some of us older ones to shame in their love for the Lord and their service to God. There's some good kids in this world. But there are some trouble kids. And there's kids all around us. To answer your question, what's wrong with these kids today? The devil's in them. The devil's in them. But when the Lord comes into their life, there's not room for both light and darkness together. He drives the darkness from them. Light always overcomes darkness. Just go into dark light, dark room, flip on a light, see what happens, see which one wins. We need to get children to Christ. It is possible for children to be despised by religion. In Matthew chapter 21, you might still be close to that. It says in verse number 14, "And the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. And when the chief priests," here's the religionists, "and the scribes saw the wonderful things which he did, and the children crying in the temple and saying, 'Hosanna to the Son of David,' they were sore displeased." See, it's possible in this sad world for children to be despised by religion. Can you see these children crying in the temple and the stuffed shirt standing up there saying, "These kids are disturbing our worship"? "Get them out of here." They were sore displeased and said unto him, "Hearest thou what these say?" You hear these kids, Jesus? "And Jesus saith unto them, 'Yea, have you never read out of the mouth of babes and sucklings thou hast perfected praise?'" I want you to notice Jesus rushed to the defense of the children. He said, "Didn't you ever read that perfect praise is going to come out of the mouth of children and babes, not adults?" We're too worried about what people think about us at our age. They have perfect praise. It is the sad reality that oftentimes religion has despised the children of this world. I've told you the story of Karl Marx many times. How he and his little single mother came into the church when he was a little boy in old rags. She had old rags on. He had old rags on. It was one of those stuffed shirt churches where everybody looked nice and perfect. They sat him in the back, and on the way out, a deacon or somebody, whatever, said to Karl Marx's mother, he was just a little boy, said, "Don't you ever come back to this church dressed like that." Karl Marx saw the hurt in his mother's eyes. He made a decision. He said, I will spend the rest of my life destroying Christianity because of what that church did to his mom. There was a man who, similar story, went to church, and he was an incorrigible young boy. And his Sunday school teacher finally took him to the Sunday school superintendent and said, I'm tired of this boy in my class, disturbing my class. I don't want him here anymore, and I hope he never comes back again. And the Sunday school superintendent grabbed the boy by the collar and brought him to the door, pushed him out the door, and said, there's the door, don't ever come back again. And that little boy, John Dillinger, became one of the bloodiest criminals the United States of America has ever known. And he died in a hail of gunfire in front of a Chicago theater one day. While his body was laying in the morgue, the only thing they released to the newspapers was a picture of his feet. And in the newspaper, the Chicago newspaper, it said under the picture, these are the feet of John Dillinger. And then it asked this question underneath it. Who knows where these feet might have gone if someone had guided them aright? That's what it said in the newspaper. There have been a few times where we have had to dismiss children from this church. It's been after we've tried everything. It's after we've tried prayer, fasting, love, everything. In most cases, it's been times where they have been heavily medicated. But we have never done it in an unchristian way. We've always gone to the parents and said, we've tried everything. We love you. We love your child, but we can't do anything more for him. Maybe some other church could help him or something. We've never done it in an unchristian way. We've never slammed the door shut. But we need to be careful that we don't despise the children. We got Bible school coming up. If you can't handle it, stay home. The kids are going to get loud. They're going to jump on the chairs. I got a feeling God's grace is big enough to forgive them for that. They're going to praise the Lord. It's going to be the loudest 4 days that this building has had all year. We're going to get one chance at somebody's kids this week. One chance. They're going to be allowed to come here one time. One time. They'll never come back. They got their own churches, their own religion. That's how it is every year. I can't tell you how many people I've met who said, I got saved at a vacation Bible school. It's the possible. It's possible in this sad world for children to be forgotten by God, turned away from by fathers, possessed with devils, despised by religion. Number five, damned by judgment. Damned by judgment. In Revelation chapter number 20, in verse 12, it says, and I saw the dead. The next word just haunts me. Small. And great. That word small, I've studied every way I can. I've tried to change the meaning of it in my own mind just to make myself feel better, but I can't change God's word. I'm not allowed to. It means those small in stature or significance. It means the children. There are going to be children at the great white throne judgment of God. It says, and the books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. I don't understand how holy God is, nor do you. I don't understand his justice. But God is a holy God, and he'll change for nobody. And this is why our Lord Jesus said in Matthew 18:14, even so it is not the will of your Father which is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. God doesn't want them to perish. God wants every single kid to be saved. I don't have time, but there's stories in the bulletin today. Three witnesses in your bulletin today of the conversion of children and how that is the easiest time to get a child converted to Christ is in their childhood. Ab Thomas says it's up to 85%. Some of these stories say less. I don't know. Only God knows. But children can be saved. And children are more open to the gospel than adults are. And it shows you that the older a person gets, the harder it is for them to be saved. Their knowledge grows, their complexity and their thoughts grow, and they try to figure things. They don't have the childlike faith. But most people get saved when they're children. And this is why. You say, why do you run buses? Why do you have Sunday schools? Why do you have children's churches? Why do you have Baptist Boys Battalion? Why do you have Gracious Girls Clubs? Why do you have Patch the Pirate Clubs and Pee Wee Clubs and Sunday Night Children's? Why do you do all these things for the children? Well, because all of them are like nets in the water that can catch some fish for the Lord Jesus, catch some souls. Now, I know some of you are not gifted to work with children, but if not, don't despise them. Don't despise those that are. Let us try to pray for them. In Isaiah chapter 30, and I'll close with this, we'll have prayer. Verse 9, that this is a rebellious people, lying children, children that will not hear the law of the Lord, which say to the seers, see not. And to the prophets, prophesy not unto us right things. Speak unto us smooth things. Prophesy deceits. This is not a smooth things church you're sitting in. There's a lot of people who want to dictate to the preachers what they should preach. I need to preach the Bible. I don't like saying the things that I've said today about children. But it's the truth. It'd be better for us to err on the side of truth than to think, well, those kids are all right. No, the kids need to be saved. They need to be brought. They will not come. They must be brought. They will not seek. They must be sought. We have to go get kids. Get them this week. Junior camp next week. God saves children. God calls children. Let's do our part to save some children out of the sad world that some children have to live in. Let's bow for prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we pray now.